This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
JJ Piccolo join us every couple weeks here on Cody and Gold. JJ, good morning. Appreciate you coming on the show. Let's just start for the first time really since it's opening day, obviously. 5-5, 10 games in. It's very early, but Chris Bubich, at least as far as we're concerned, maybe the biggest positive we've seen from you guys this portion of the season. What's really changed for him? We saw how dominant he was in the bullpen last year, but now back in the rotation.
To be honest with you, I don't think anything's really changed. I mean, prior to his injury, he was in our rotation, and those first couple starts before he got hurt, we thought he had really turned the corner. He added the slider, which was a pitch that he always wanted to throw, and he sort of perfected it over the offseason. And just when we thought he was ready to be a regular in our rotation, he gets injured. So last year, I think we were just really fortunate that he was able to get back and not only pitch in the major leagues, but pitching the role that he pitched in, because there's a lot of high leverage innings, some back-to-back outings, which is difficult on a guy coming off of, a Tommy John and a rehab. But very honestly, part of our confidence in being able to acquire Indy and using a starting pitcher was the presence of Chris Bubich. And his first two starts have been outstanding.
How do you handle like the long-term play with it? Let's just say he's going to pitch like this all year, which would make him a Cy Young candidate. But like, if he pitches at the level you guys thought he could do, how do you handle it so you get to let him pitch in September or October? At times you might really also want him, you know?
Yeah, I think that's going to be something we're going to have to play out through the season. It's hard to predict. I mean, there's going to be times during the season where, yeah, he's going to get a little bit fatigued. And if we had the opportunity to skip a start, you know, with an off day in there, the All-Star break will factor in. But, you know, one thing that's really hard to account for is what his workload was really like last year. Because when you count his innings from the time he was in Arizona rehabbing through his rehab in Omaha, he pitched about 80 innings. And how do you account for the short spurts where he throws 3 out of 4 or 3 out of 5, and how do you translate that into actual innings as a starter? That's a really difficult thing to do. So we're just going to play it start to start. There's really not a lot of concern of getting him through the season. It's just a matter of how do we read it and how is he feeling. And if he's feeling good, we don't have any reason to hold him back. We're going to keep, I don't want to say push him, but we're going to keep allowing him to pitch and not think of the glass half empty. You know, the glass is half full for Chris. He's really moving in the right direction, and we're excited for it. How he feels in August will probably determine how we go about getting him some rest along the way.
Chris Bubich, obviously been a huge positive 10 games in. Overall, just to this point, what do you make of what you've seen from your team coming out of spring training and starting the first couple games?
I think, you know, I'm glad we're 5-5, you know, just the way we start out swinging the bats. But, you know, the bats coming to a little bit, but I thought the consistency and the approach that we had over the last 3 or 4 games is what we expect. We had some scoring opportunities. We didn't capitalize, but we still managed to win the game. But when you look at our starting pitching, our bullpen, our defense, and our lineup, you know, it's a pretty good team. You know, not ready to say it's the greatest team baseball's ever seen, but, you know, we're in a good spot because the pitching is going to keep us in games. And, you know, if we're ahead after six or seven innings, we got a pretty good chance to win the game with the way the back of our bullpen's set up right now.
I guess, yeah, that's really what it is. You mentioned pitching. I think a lot of times people go to the starting end of it. I think we ran the numbers earlier, including Daniel Lynch. So if we include him in the Harvey, Urseg, Estevez combo, they've gone almost 21 innings and have only allowed a single earned run. I imagine that this is kind of exactly what you were praying for, JJ, when you were building the back end of the bullpen this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, we want, you know, you want to, if you have a lead, you want to lock down that win. And I think we have the makings, not only, you know, with the three that have been thrown the seventh, eighth, and ninth, but you mentioned Daniel. Let's not forget about Zerpa. You know, those guys can pitch in high leverage situations. So not only is it some power at the end of the pen, but we can match up a little bit too, having two lefties that we're not afraid to use. And Sam Long has been in high leverage. You know, last year, you know, I was reminded the other day, you know, it was in September and October that we were going to Sam Long in the seventh inning, the eighth inning. So, you know, let's not forget him as well. So it, you know, there's balance there. And that's what I think we're most excited about is we have options, you know, like tonight's a night where, you know, those back three have thrown three out of 4 days, and that's difficult on guys. So we'll have to see how the game goes. But tonight's a night where somebody else is going to have to step up and maybe finish the game for us, because this is about, you know, the long run, not just the short term. And, you know, these are where guys take advantage of opportunities when we get into situations like tonight, and they solidify themselves as a big part of our pen.
I've seen some like interview quotes, I think with Andy Rogers and a few others. Daniel Lynch talking about high leverage. We're like, I wouldn't call it laissez-faire, but like, seem like he's not pushing you guys into, no, I want more and more and more of that yet. What has kind of his attitude been about, like, earning those opportunities or taking advantage of those? Because last year he wasn't in the highest leverage for you. To begin this year, you guys obviously have those three at least that would seemingly be ahead of him for those spots. How is he handling, like, you know, asking for those opportunities or expecting what to do with them? Is, or just about when he gets in that spot, making sure he does it well?
Yeah, I think it's more about just seizing the opportunity. When he gets into those situations, go ahead and perform like he has. I think the mindset's got to be the same. Just because you're throwing maybe the eighth inning, you know, it's different, but it needs to be the same approach as if he's throwing the sixth inning, because the sixth inning often determines what's happening in the eighth inning. So all of those innings are important. So when guys get opportunities like that, we don't want them to change anything they're doing. You know, it's really the same three outs you got to get. And if a guy can keep a clear mind and approach the eighth like he approaches the sixth, he's probably going to have success. Now that's easier said than done, because we all know the game gets heightened as you get deeper in the game. But the reality is, you know, you don't even know where you might be in the lineup. You know, you might be towards the bottom third of the lineup when you get that opportunity in the eighth. So that may be easier in the eighth than the sixth if you're facing 3, 4, 5. So every situation's a little bit different, but we don't want Daniel or anybody to change your mindset. Compete for those three outs like it's the ninth inning, because every inning can determine the outcome of the game.
We're talking to Royals General Manager and Executive Vice President J.J. Piccolo here on 96.5 The Fan. Obviously, MJ Melendez at the plate hasn't gotten off to the start that he would have liked, that you guys would have liked necessarily, but are you seeing over the last game or two anything different from him, at least when he steps into the batter's box? Is he getting closer?
Yeah, I think he is. And even though, you know, regardless of what the batting average is, I think over the last four games, he's got on base 6-7 times in that area. But I think he's made a little bit, you know, of a change. I can't really, you know, say I'm 100% sure, but it looks like his bat angle is a little bit different, where he's starting. And he's on time a little bit more. The ball he hit last night was as good of a swing as anyone can take. I mean, a little more elevation, that ball's out. So that was a good at bat. The walk was a good at bat. You know, one at bats he struck out. You know, I probably shouldn't say it, but I don't know where that pitch was.
And, it was definitely a ball.
He's competing well in that at-bat. So that's why we try not to get too result-oriented. That at-bat was pretty good. It didn't end the way we wanted it to end, but it was still pretty good at-bat. So really, three out of his four at-bats last night were good. And guys need to gain confidence. And last night should be a big confidence booster for MJ. And even, the prior 2 days, I thought he did some good things in the batter's box.
What about Mikel Garcia? Going into the season, we were trying to figure out, is he not positionless, but with India and Massey and some of these guys playing outfield and infield, weren't really sure where it fits. I guess first, how do you view him in center, and is moving around taking the pressure off the plate? Did he change things in his approach? And we didn't talk about it as much, because obviously he's off to a good start offensively.
Yeah, well, when Mikel's swinging the bat the best, it's when he's using the whole field, and even more so to the right center field gap. That way, when his bat and his swing is geared to go in that direction, he usually stays over the ball longer. His bat stays in the zone, and he hits line drives. I mean, he hit three balls on the nose last night. I mean, the first one was really good because there was a man on second, and he had fouled a ball off before that, and he's trying to shoot that ball to right field. Then he gets a pitch that's up a little bit, and he hits a line drive to right field for a single. That's when you know he's going good. He did that in the playoffs last year in Baltimore, New York. He did it early in the year last year. So I think for us, the challenge with Mikel is just trying to continually remind him that you need to use the whole field. He hit the homer early at home that was pull, and I was really anxious to see what he would do the next games, and he hit the home run to dead center. That's a great sign. But you know what he's doing? We love this. We want this from every player. The positionality is a little bit questionable. Where is he going to play every night? But right now he's forcing us to put him in the lineup every night, and that's what we want. So luckily he can play positions. And to answer your other question, there is already improvement in center field. That ball he ran down in right center the other day, I'm not so sure he makes that play, 2-3 weeks ago while we're still in spring training, but he had a beat on that ball. He was calling run for off the whole way. He knew he was on it. He makes a nice running catch. And I think as time goes on, those catches will look even easier because he's going to get better jumps, better reads. He's going to accelerate. And when he gets to the point where he's catching the ball, he's not still going to be moving. He's going to be there and, catching the ball more to his side than on the run. So he's athletic. He's going to be able to do a lot of things for us defensively. And we all believe he's going to excel at whatever position he plays.
10 games in, I don't know how many of these pregame ceremonies you've had for different awards. I'm sure it doesn't get old doing that. Are you guys done yet? I feel like there's been 7 of them for some of your guys.
Well, the first day we did it, we won the game. So the next day I was down there, the guys started asking if I was superstitious. I said, no, it's just another pregame. And then we lost that game. So when I showed up the third day, they're like, beat it, get out of here. So, but no, it's nice. A lot of that stuff is happening early in the season. And, Bobby had asked him on the field at one point, are you tired of getting these awards? He said, no, keep them coming. So it's a good thing. I think it's great for our fans. I mean, Salvi got that Roberto Clemente Award at the World Series last year, but he got a nice standing ovation. I mean, of all the awards in baseball, that is arguably the best award because it speaks about who the person is. And then obviously Salvi's really talented as well, but it was nice to see our fans recognize him and give him a standing ovation for all the great things he does off the field. And it's what we want our players to be.
JJ, I want to ask you about just one minor league player because our listeners ask us about him. I know I'm going to ask about Jack Caglione. It's only 3 games in, so I don't want to ask about performance in general. Just what organizationally for a player like him do you guys want to see at Double-A to know that he's ready to progress at Triple-A? So what are the things specifically the organization is looking for him to do?
I probably thought you were going to ask him about somebody else.
Carter Jensen. Hey, he's had a good start too,
Jack. Yeah, absolutely he has. He's been great. I think with Jack, I mean, it's really hard to, explain and understand. It's the quality of the bats guys are taking and who is he facing? Is he facing a quality, pitcher that can make pitches similar to the pitches that he's going to be facing in the major leagues? What's he doing against left-handed pitchers and what type of a bat is he taking there? We know he's got power. I mean, for him to hit a ball the way he did in Tulsa, that's not surprising to us. But the very next day with two strikes, he hits a line drive to left center field. Another bat, he was down 0-2 and he walks. That's more important to us in trying to determine how ready he is for the major leagues than seeing him hit a hanging breaking ball 460 feet. You know, that he's going to do that, but it's how he handles his at-bats, what he does with two strikes. Does he recognize situations to get the run in, because he's going to be in that category of run producer. But it's not going to be a small sample that we're going to make that determination. It's going to be a large sample. And, you know, we haven't determined, you know, is it 100 at-bats, 500 at-bats. We just have to have an instinct. We have people watching him every night. You know, we have reports from the coaches every night. You know, there is another step for him to take, and that's called AAA before he even gets to the major league. So, you know, that's what we're looking for. We want to see the quality of at-bat, the consistency, because we know one thing, it's a lot harder here in the major leagues because the pitchers are the elite of the elite. And we got to put him in the best position to handle that. So when he comes up, he never goes back. And that's the best way to handle players.
Well, I can tell you, he hasn't done anything to this point that hasn't calmed the fan base's excitement, which that's something we get texts every single day about, which is fun, right? I mean, that's people should be excited.
Yeah, no, he's got one of the best prospects in the game. I mean, and that is exciting. So, you know, I'm glad. I mean, I'm being very candid. I love when our fans are talking about the Royals, whether it's good, bad, one player, the whole team. That's what we do this for. We want our fans talking about what we have going on. And I think it's great that they're talking about Cags, and we are too, you know, but they're, you know, we're also watching everybody else. You know, you mentioned Carter Jensen. I mean, he's off to a great start as well. And Gavin Cross, and, you know, that team has got something. You know, they got a lot of offensive ability on that team. They're scoring a ton of runs, and that's fun to watch. But again, with every one of those guys, it's all about the process of how their at-bats and how they are going and how they mature as a player, you know, to determine if they're ready in the major leagues. All of these guys in the major leagues did great things in Double A. If you go back and look at every one of our players, they've all done great things in Double A, and that's the perspective that we've got to keep.
JJ Piccolo, Royal General Manager, always appreciate it. We'll check in here in a couple weeks.
All right, guys. Thank you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.